Let's just go ahead and stand up real quick. I'm going to do that real quick. So, once you turn to somebody and say, hey, I'm glad you're here today, okay? There you go. Gotcha. All right, so if you want to go ahead and sit down, I just want to share that a couple good things happened this week. One of those things today, this week, is the Scott family has a new baby, so new family member. So yeah. Yes. I seen his eyes open when we got loud on one of the songs. His eyes kind of got open. He'll get used to it, right? And Austin graduated his GED graduation this week. So that was great. Yeah. So we have some good things that are happening there this week here at New Life, and share some things as we work through our last part of Philippians today. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Philippians 4 today. We're going to finish up this series here. I feel like Phil did the last chapter, and I'll finish it up today. And so I want to share with you today a little bit, there's three different segments in here that I want to share with. One of this is just kind of like just good Christian practical things that we can do as Christians, and another, and then we'll work through those as well. But Philippians 4, chapter 4, in verse 5, it says, "Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Father, as we open up your words today, may we take it in as spiritual food. May we take it in to help nourish our souls and our spirit today, that we may leave here full and just energized by your spirit today and your word and worship. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So we see here, he says, let your graciousness be known to everyone, for God is near. And so our graciousness to others and in the world needs to be different than the world. I'm telling you, we need to be different. These are some practical pieces that is for us as believers, that we can be different than the rest of the world. The world is already chaotic enough. It is a mess. It is very dark right now. Demonic is always in the shadows moving, but we are called to be like lights, the city, like we're with a light on the hill. We are to be the light in this darkness. So our graciousness needs to be seen by people. We need to be, not that we boast on what we do, but our graciousness needs to be seen by people. The church needs to step up in moments in life and not the world be doing the things that we need to be stepping up. And I see that in the churches. Churches across the country are stepping up. Denominations are stepping up to things, and they see that. And it also says the Lord is near. The Lord is near. The Lord is near because he is always here, but the Lord is also near, that he's coming back. And we need to be ready for that. But also it says don't worry. So we don't worry. We worry too much, y'all. Just be honest. Do you worry? Just lift your hands up. Are you a worry person? Listen, are you worried? We worry. And then you get on Facebook, or you get on, you're sitting there scrolling, and you see news, and then you start worrying on this side. And then we start worrying over here about our kids who are not walking with the Lord. And we start worrying about this over here. We start worrying about that over there. And we become so worrisome that we are missing what's in front of us. But the Bible tells us, don't worry. How in the world can we not worry? And it says, we're not to worry about anything. We're not to worry about anything. But yet we do, don't we? We do. We worry about those things. But it gives us a way through it. Through our worry, what does it say? It says, but we are to pray about those things. We are to pray and petition. That means we lay it before the Lord and we give thanksgiving to God. We present our requests to the Lord. And that's what we do. That's what we're supposed to do. And when we do that, we're supposed to bring those requests to God, and that's what we're supposed to do. And then it says, and the peace of God will come upon us. And when the peace of God comes upon us, then that worry begins to go away. So we have that worrisome peace. We have that worry peace. And if we don't deal with the worry peace, it stays. But it tells us if we turn around and we give it to God, we give it back to God, We give it to God, then we have peace. So all y'all that raised your hand up, there's a way of getting through that worrisome. I know worry is a tough one because we all have a tendency to worry a little bit. But we're not supposed to worry. Don't worry about those things. Just give it to God. And it sounds like it's an easy thing to do. Here's the problem. We don't spend enough time with God to give it to God. We spend too much time in the worrying business. We spend too much time in thinking about it instead of giving it to God. If we spend more time with God, we'll talk about the things of God and we'll lay it to Him. And that's what we need to be doing. Because that worrisome piece does not really need to be for us. But I'll be honest with you. There's times when I worry. Even as a pastor here, I worry about things as well. And what do? I need to go to God. I need to take my walks with the Lord. I need to spend time in His Word. I need to come to the altar when I'm here. I need to do this, and that. When I worry, I want to follow. And I can tell you, I have a peace with God. But then the next worry piece comes up, I have it, and I go to God, and I'm going to work through it. Does it mean it gets taken care of immediately? No, but I know when I get up from that prayer piece, or I get done with that prayer piece, I know that I have given it to God, I'm entrusting Him with it, and I'm going to walk away. I'm going to have some peace in there, and my worry may be there just a little bit, but it's not as strong as the peace I have with God. And I'm going to work through that. I got to give God time to process whatever His plan is. Because worrying is, there's so much worrying right now. There is so much worrying right now out of the churches, and we don't need to be that way. But then what Paul does is he moves into another piece. He begins to start talking in our second piece. He starts talking about this giving, this whole ministry of support, this appreciation to supporting how they have supported the people. Philippi have supported him. Let's go there in verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly because once again you renewed your care for me. You were in fact concerned for me, but you lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know both now to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through Him who strengthens me. Some versions may say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we look at this we look at this section and we just kind of blow it off real quick. We just say, yeah, God's with me and I'm good to go. But there's a lot more in here. He says, I have learned the secret. What is the secret? Because we all don't have this. We have the secret, but we don't use it. He says, I can be content. I can be content when I have a lot. And I can be content when I don't have. And I didn't give you, he says, you haven't had the opportunity. You guys have been great. He says, you guys have been great. And you see this through other scripture. You guys have been great supporters. We see that in chapter 1. You guys were great supporters. Appreciate it. What he was saying. Appreciate all that you've done for me. And so we know that they have been great supporters of Paul's ministry. But anytime you deal with ministry and you are a here it is. Oh, man, I want to say this. You can be a church. Okay? You can be a church. Not every church is called. Every church is called to share the gospel. Every church is called to do the Great Commission, making disciples, baptizing, sharing the gospel. But some churches have been called to do like some ministry work. We're all called to do some, but some churches have been called and given the task of some heavy ministries. And heavy ministry brings a lot of weight with it. And heavy ministry is where you can't do it unless you have God with you. You can't do it unless God calls you to do it. You're going to have to trust God more than you ever have before. And here it is, to be content, to understand, he says, I know how to make it when I don't have enough, when I have little, and I know how to make it when I have a lot. And he says, I know the secret. I know the secret. He says, I got the secret down. I know the secret. He says, I've learned to be content when I have, and I've learned to be content when I don't have. And then he rips it up and says this, because I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, we wear that scripture on our t-shirts. We wear it on wristbands. We wear it all over the place. But I just don't think we quite understand what that really means. It doesn't mean I can do all things and say, okay, I want to go out, I want to be a fireman, and I go, this is what I want to do, or I want to go to college, I want to go to this college, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do. But when you let God lead your life, okay, when you let God lead your life, you're putting yourself on the road, you're putting yourself with what God has for you, and when you do that, you're gonna go through some things that you've never, you're gonna go through things you never thought you were gonna go through. And just because the road can be rough doesn't mean it's the wrong road. You see, as American, in our American church, we think that because the road is easy, that's the blessed road, but sometimes the road is rough. The blessed road is the right road, and the rough road is the wrong road, but sometimes the rough road is the right road. And so what we see here is we see he says, I have, in all circumstances, I have learned to become content. I know the secret. I am being content, whether with or without. I am content, whether I'm well fed or when I'm hungry. How can you do that? How can you possibly do that? How can a church actually do that? It does it because he says, I learned the secret. The secret is, it's God's anyway. I can do it if God called me to do it. We can do this if God has called us to do this. I know I can't do it, but the Lord can do it. And even when you, and as you walk as a Christian and you've learned that secret, you'll know that when you are in abundance, you are praising God and you are thanking God for what He's doing to you and for you and all those amazing things. And you do it with a joy. When you're on the harder part of it, when you have less and you're in need, and you give it to God, as we did in those previous scriptures, I lay it out, I give it to God, and I do my prayer, and I don't worry about it, but I'm going to lay it before God. Here it is. I know I got the weight. We know we have the weight. We know we have the issues. We know that we're at a split road for a moment. We know that we have needs. They're bigger than what we can supply, but this is what I also know, that we're going to do this thing. Because we're not doing it in our own strength. We're doing it in the strength of Christ. And that's what the scripture means. I can do all things. I can do all things that God has called me to do. I can do all things. I can live this life as a Christian. I can do what God's called me to do. Wherever He leads me, I can do all of it if I let Him be in charge. If I do and I follow Him and I don't have Him following me, listen, God don't follow anybody. We are called to follow Him. And us as American Christians, we got to get off of that, get my best life now, get this for me, get the, listen, I was bought at a price, and that price was high. It was the Son of God, right? You were bought at a price. We were bought at a price, and that price is Christ. And that price is it was a high price. And who's to say that I can, I can't just go out and say, God, get on my bandwagon, do this and that. Doesn't mean we can't pray for things. But when you get on the thing that God has called you to do, to live your life as a believer, be the light in the darkness, and you do with the things that God puts in front of you, I'm telling you, you're going to have a little bit of a rough road from time to time. But I'm going to tell you this, you're going to have some testimonies that the rest of the other Christians don't have. God didn't call you to be saved to play it safe. And too many of us are playing it safe. He says, I can do it. Paul, probably one of the greatest great Christians, teachers, and preachers there ever was. There were times when he didn't have things. He says, I'm good to go. I'm okay. He needs things. He's going to pray. He's going to ask. And these churches that he goes to and places are going to send help. And he talks about that in a lot of his letters, where he says, thank you for the gift. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. But it's really not the gift that you give to me, but really it's the gift that God's giving to you for giving it to me. He's blessing you. It's for your blessing. Listen, anytime you give a gift, and it's for the Lord, and you give a gift, he says there in verse 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. You see, whatever gift is given to New Life, the church or ministries, whatever it is, or a gift, it only works for a while, and that gift fades. Usually that gift fades. If it's money, it only lasts for so long. But the gift that the giver that gives it, there's a blessing that is eternal. Nah, some of that just might have went over your head a little bit. I don't know for some, but hopefully not. This is where Jesus says, store up your treasures in heaven, not on earth. He says, I have learned the secret. And I almost think that this is a secret that you may know about it, but you have to go through it to learn it. It's almost like one of those, you have to learn it. But hey, you have to learn that secret. You have to figure out what that secret is, how that works as a Christian. How does that secret work that I'm not going to worry about anything. I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to take it to God. I'm going to take it to Christ. I'm going to pray about these things. And then His peace is going to come over me. And I'm going to have peace with that. And then when I don't have what I think I need to have to make this happen, or I'm even into abundance and I have so much, I need to be wise in both areas. Both areas, we still can praise God. Both areas, we're still praying. Both areas, we're still doing what God's called us to do. And I just want to remind you, God has and owns everything. I always say, yep, we have it. We just don't have it yet. God hasn't given it to us yet. I learned my lesson in a multi-million dollar home down in Florida. I learned a lesson way back when. I learned a lesson. God reminded me, listen, that man has a lot of money. But what he has, that's mine too. And God reminded me that He is the supplier, not man. Man are just tools. Men, women that write checks and do those kind of things and helps ministries. They are great. They are great gifts that God gives through people. But we can thank people, but we praise God. Again, we can thank people, and we are called to be thankful to people. We're supposed to be, but we only praise God. And we praise God because we know, really, that if that person didn't do what God had put upon their heart, God would find someone else, because God doesn't run out. God has it all, and He has it all and always will have it all. You can't, there is no hearse behind your call. Nobody takes a hearse to the burial ground. They tried that in Egypt, and you know what? That stuff is still there. You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. But I'll tell you, if there's anything we're grip-fisted on, then that's money. Boy, we love money. America loves its money. America loves its money. And if we could love God the way we love money, God didn't call the biggest church in this community to do what it does. God didn't call the biggest church in this community to do the things that we're doing here. It doesn't mean we're better than anyone. God just chose us. For whatever purposes and reason, God chose us to do it. And you may think that we could do this program better, we can do that program better. You can be careful how you say that. Yes, you can have your opinions, you can have those. Be careful, because people are praying and working in those programs hard. And they're in it every day. They're in the midst of it every day. And I can tell you here, when He says He has learned the secret, it is a tough secret to learn. We've been doing this for a long time now. And there are times and there are seasons when we have a lot. And there are seasons where we don't have much at all. I do find myself praying more when we have those seasons where we don't have as much. But I also find myself praising God a whole lot more when we have much. And the secret is this: keeping Christ in all situations. Here. When it's low, when it's high, when it's bad, when it's good. Keeping Him here. Keeping Him here. So He shares that peace. He says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. But I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided. He says, I got your gift. I got your gift. It's a fragrant offering. What does that mean? It's a fragrant offering. Listen, if he spent time, Paul spent time praying for these needs that he needed to have, and he knows that it came, it was a like an aroma up to God. It was this, it was an acceptable sacrifice. And it says pleasing to God. You see, I don't think it's always about the one that's praying. It's always about the one that's praying or the one that is in need. But it's also about the one God chooses to give. The one that is to be the giver. You see, one is needing something and the other one is the giver. And so here it is. The receiver received an answer to prayer. Right? He receives an answer to prayer, and that's what he says. He says, listen, I have received everything. I received it. I received your gift in full, and I have an abundance. Thank you. He says, thank you. But here it is. He says, I got it, that you provided it, mentioned the name. Here it is. I got it. Here it is. I got it. Thank you. But he doesn't stop. He says, it's a fragrant offering. An acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Thursday we had an auction, a fundraiser for us, and I believe it was a beautiful offering for God. A beautiful offering to God. It is an answered prayer for, I know several of us prayed for it. I know that I did. I spent time here at the altar, I spend time wherever I'm praying about it, because I know this, we were in need of finances. We were in need of finances. For the last 2 months, we've been going from week to week. Week to week to week to week. Teaching us how to be, teaching me the secret, how to be content when you don't have. It is much easier to be content when you have. But can you be content when you don't have? And when you feel like you have needs, what do? You go back and you pray over those things. In that first section, we pray over these things. We pray over these things. And so this offering was given on Thursday night. Now what I also know is, I'm not also, when it comes back to the don't worry about everything, go to the Lord in prayer, petition and thanksgiving and prayer, and so you do that. But also know that I've asked other people to pray for us. And I've made some calls across the country and asked some people that I trust to pray for us, and they said they would, and they prayed for us, and they prayed for us, and our goal was $40,000. Now, a few weeks ago, well, last month, I had heard that the Place of Grace was getting ready to have a fundraiser piece themselves. And they wanted to raise $40,000, I think it was, or $50,000, I think it was. And I said, well, we're going to pray that you all get $60,000. And we talked about it on a Wednesday night. We prayed that they got $60,000, and they got $60,000. And so that's that part where you need to learn to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And so I was able to rejoice and shared with the church that they made it to $60,000. Now here's the thing. They was praying for 50, we were praying for 60, and God answered 60. Now here's what I know. Until you can start learning how to rejoice for other people, don't expect people to rejoice for you. We need to start rejoicing with other believers and their victories and their answered prayers. And so they prayed, so we prayed for that, and they got that. And ours came up, and we were praying for $40,000. And so I had called some guys, and they had some people, and they were praying, and we were praying, and we were praying because of, really, just for the, take out any specific earmarked giving, for like the Life Center last year. Really, I think our highest event was about $32,000. I think it was $32,000 for the auction. We were going, trying to shoot up to $40,000. Well, we hit that $40,000. But we even went higher than that. And God bless us with $50,000. Now, yeah. And I had called around, and I just let everybody know, hey, man, I text, I've called, and it's like, hey, thank you for praying. They were like, hey, and I got one answer. I got one that said, hey, hold on a second. I know you guys said you prayed for, you had a, you had a, you had a, you had a goal and a prayed for 40. But they said, hey, we were praying you guys get 50. And you know who that was? That was Phil and Ashley Fisher. See, they may have left physically, but their spirit and their heart is still here. And they were so ecstatic that God answered their prayer for 50. And I am thankful they prayed for 50 and not 40. God will use the most unlikely people to pray for you. And sometimes God will answer their prayer. Just as though we were praying for the place of grace that does similar things as we do. People would think, oh, you're in competition. Well, sometimes you feel like there's competition, and there sometimes is a little bit when you're going after the same grant money and things like that. But I know that there are believers over there. I know that they do things different than we do, but they love the Lord, and they have, I think their leadership is pretty decent, and they've stayed on task and doing their thing, and we needed to pray for them. And God answered our prayer, and God sometimes will answer the prayer of others that are not directly involved, because they are, if they're actually praying, then they're really praying not for something for themselves, but praying for something for others. You want to see answered prayers, start praying for other people. And you'll begin to start seeing more prayers being answered. I truly believe that. So I'm thankful for them doing that. Because in verse 19, he says this, Paul says this, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, I am so confident. I've been so through so much in my life and my ministry that I've seen God supply over and over and over and over and over. And when it didn't look like it was coming in, God took care of it. And he's saying, listen, from the God, he says, from my God, which is the same God as they serve, he says, my God will supply all your needs. Because he knows this. If you've been walking with the Lord, you will know this. All your needs have been met. All your needs have been met. And all the years we've been doing stuff here, for 24 years now, we have never not paid a bill. When we lacked finances over and over and over, there have been times when we need to have something done, and somehow God does something miraculous, and we're able to get the right person, the right people to make it happen. And the problem, I think, is that we are so busy looking at our own lives, which I think we have a priority to take care of ourselves, but we stop looking about those who are around us. And we begin to look at those around us, then we begin to see how much that God loves them and just not loves you. That you can truly understand what it means to have peace in God. And that when others hurt, you hurt. And when others are joyful, that you're joyful. Life is not for you to go out and get all what you want. That's the way of the world. When you become a believer, your life really is to do what God has called you to do. To be a servant to God. To fulfill His destiny and purposes for you. And I believe we're trying to do that here. And I believe we see a lot of prayer requests that are here. We see a lot of answered prayer. We see a lot of things happening that God is doing here. And we have not lacked of a need. It may not come in when we exactly want it, but God has a way of getting the need to us. God is a great giver. He is an amazing giver. We are in a time right now of financially fundraising. This is the season, the end of the year. We know what happens in the first quarter. It's a lot less because it's just the phases of things. But here, what we know today is we need to give it to God. That's it. We need to give things. We need to turn things over to God. We need to give it to God. All of our worries and all of our stresses and all of our needs, we need to give it to God. The secret of being content is to know that you can do it through Jesus Christ. And you cannot do it without Him. You cannot do anything God calls you to do and do it without Him. And you can't even do life without Him to be successful in the life that He's given to you. And whatever the need is, God already has it. God has all supplies. All supplies. All supplies. I'm reminded of a day when I had a Dollar Tree Christmas. Getting out of the military, and I was angry. Angry at the world. Because I thought everybody was lazy because everybody got up late. They weren't putting in 10, 12 hours a day. I come out of the military and I just come back to this. Everything was lackadaisical. I was just angry. I couldn't get a job. Used to carrying money all the time. Had all kinds of great positions. Got out into the world, looked at me differently, and I couldn't get anything. And then next thing I know, here comes the debtor giving me a call saying, "Hey, we're ready to come pick up your SUV, and you're about ready to lose your apartment." I'm not going to get all into it, but I'm going to tell you this. God is faithful. God is faithful. Sometimes God will ask you to give. Sometimes I've been there. God will ask you to give your last $20. It's not because He just wants to strip your wallet empty. He's just testing you at times to say, "I want your last $20. Is that $20 worth more than what I had before you? Am I worth more than 20? And then you're there and you do what God tells you to do. And the next thing you know, that God has a way of giving you, replacing it. But God doesn't replace what He takes from you, what He asks you to give. He gives you more every single time. Every single time. There's been times when I've been asked to give money to this or to that. Didn't have it, gave it, the next thing I know, I'm not giving, this is not a prosperity message. I'm just telling you, this is just how God does things. And even if you go for a season where you give and you're not getting any, you know, you're not looking for it back, but you're saying, "Lord, I'm having needs here, but I'm doing this, I'm doing that, what is going on?" And I'm telling you, God's not stressing over it all because all He's got to do is do this. It's about us. Getting us in the right plane, the right lane. Because He has so much more for us in this world than what you would ever know. I'm going to finish it up here in verse 14. Back up to 14. Or verse 13 says, "I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We got that, right? But verse 14 says this, "Still, you did well by partnering me." He says, still, he's talking to the church. "You, the church, did well by partnering with me in my hardship." In my hardship. Hardships that come upon us, all of us, from time to time. It can be a relational, it can be a marriage, it can be family, it can be a job, it can be finances, it can be health. Hardships are tough. It can be loneliness after losing someone. Hardships can be tough. And my thing is, you can do it alone and you can do it your way. And there's nothing worse than doing life alone. Or you can turn it over and give it all over to God and say, "God, I don't know how to handle this. This is way beyond me. But I know what your scripture tells me and I can do this. But I can only do it through Christ." I'm telling you, I can tell you all day long on the blessings and the answers of prayer that God has done for me in my own life, for this church, for the ministries. I don't live off old testimonies. I visit them sometimes because I'm too busy living new testimonies. And that's the difference. When you're following, doing what God's called you to do, you can't keep going back to the old testimonies and living off them. You can revisit them because you're too busy living in the moment, doing what God has for you today. And there's testimonies that are getting ready to happen right now. Listen, we just had a couple of great pieces. New baby over there, that's awesome. I was praying for her. That's what I'm supposed to do, but I don't do it because I'm supposed to do it all. I do it because I want to do it. I'm going to pray. She works for us. I'm praying for her. I'm going to pray for her. I was praying for Austin. We were having the auction. And listen, praying for him because there's something important that he needs to accomplish for him in his own personal life. To encourage himself, inner encouragement, praying. Because I knew that our staff, some staff members, Carla and Donnie were with him on that night. We can do two things at one time. It's okay. It's good. God can call us to do several things. Stop doing what God wants us to do, and you'll see these doors close in a heartbeat. Keep doing what God calls us to do, and you can imagine, you are beyond our imagine, what God's doing and what God's going to do. I kind of like seeing, even if it costs us to be in some hardships and some times of need, I'd rather take those moments with God than in abundance without God. Because with an abundance without God, I'm going to screw it up. I'm going to mismanage. Because here's the danger of church today. We put too much business in God's business. Too much business, world business, in God's business. And not enough His Word and His business. Father, You know that You've been good to us. You've been so good to me. And You've been good to many of those here, Lord. You've been good to all of us. I pray, Father, we'd understand and know, Lord, You're taking us to a new level of trust, increase of faith. Lord, we know Your Word says in Joshua chapter 1, You challenged Joshua to be strong and courageous. I think today You're challenging us to be steadfast, continue to be steadfast, be faithful, stay faithful. Because You want to even do more with us as individuals and as a church. But Lord, we know none of it gets right until our hearts get right. Ministries are corrected when the hearts of those who lead are corrected. Churches get corrected when the congregation gets corrected with You. I pray, Father, today as we take a moment here, that our hearts will be corrected. And our hearts to be corrected can only happen with You. May Your Holy Spirit have free reign upon each one of us today. Move in a way that only You can. Touch the hardest of hearts, the breaking heart, the sinful heart, the lost heart, and even the committed heart, and the faithful at heart. For even in a brokenness time, there are those who can still praise You. And I pray, Father, for this, Your will to be done. In Christ's name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand.